Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 363. As an introduction to the parsha, we know that in Parsha's Balak we have this account of what happens when Balak the king tries to contract Bilam to curse the Jewish people. Bilam had some sort of unique ability to curse. He was a Gentile prophet. He had some ability to curse the Jews, or at least Balak thought so. And of course, as we know, he tries to get him. He says no. He says yes. Then eventually he comes and he tries to curse and he fails. He tries once, he tries twice, he tries three times. He's not particularly good at cursing the Jews. In contrast, what he says instead is some beautiful blessing, things and phrases and themes that we draw upon, and really famous lines. And a couple of them I want to focus on because they're going to figure prominently in our discussion this morning. In one of his curses / blessings, he says, "Hine varech lakachli uverech lo ashivana." He says, "Behold, to bless I have received, he has blessed, I shall not contradict it." Right? He comes to curse, but instead he blesses. And one of the things he says is, "Hashem Elokav imo," Hashem his God is with him, "Usiruas melech bo," and the friendship of the king is in him, referring to God as king. Hold that thought, that melech, malchus, struas melech bo, that phrase comes up in the davening of Rosh Hashanah. It's a very important phrase. And here we have this this reference to it in the blessings of Bilam. Kel motziyam mitzrayim, the God is the one who took us out of Egypt, kesafos re'ein lo, according to the power of his loftiness. Kilo nachash b'yakov lo kesem b'yisrael, it goes on and on. So I wanted to show you another part, in particular a little bit later on in the bracha. It refers again to Kel Motzio Mitzrayim, God who brought us out of Egypt, Kisoafos Re'em Lo, similar expression to before, according to the power of his loftiness, Yochal Goyim Tzarevatz Mosem Yigorem Bichitzav Imchatz, he will consume the nations that oppress him and crush their bones, and their arrows shall pierce them. Then, Kara Shachav Ka'ari Uchalavi Mi Yikimenu, he crouched and lay down like a lion, and like a lion cub, Mi Yikimenu, who can stand him up? Referring to Shachav, and then Mi Yikimenu. Again, this is poetic language, but it's rich in metaphor, and it's rich in meaning. And these phrases are going to feature prominently in just a moment. But before we get there, I just want to think about Parshas Balak in almost its entirety, until the very last paragraph. These are all events and circumstances that not only were we not aware of when they happened, you know, it's not clear that the Jews living in that generation never even knew about what had happened in this plot. This is all happening on side stage, so to speak. It doesn't happen on the main stage of Jewish history. It's not happening to Moshe or to Aaron. Again, Aaron has passed, or Miriam has passed, but it's not happening to Aaron and Moshe and the Jewish people. It's happening somewhere else. And so the report of this, and that we have this report, is very interesting. As a matter of fact, there's a very controversial Gemara. Gemara in Bava Basra says, "Umi Kasvan," refers to all the different chapters and books of Tanakh. It says, who wrote them? So Moshe Kasav Sefro, Moshe wrote his book, meaning the Torah, Uparshas Bilam v'Iov. He wrote Parshas Bilam, and he wrote the book of Iov. So forgetting Iov for a moment, but what is Parshas Bilam? Right, Parshas Bilam is this section over here. It's seen as a separate book, a separate account, and there's a whole big discussion about exactly what does that mean. Was the Torah one thing, and then this was sort of stuck in at some later point by Moshe himself? But again, Moshe did not have a first-person knowledge of these events. Maybe he only received them later, and it was added later at some point. There are different understandings and opinions about what this means. But in any event, it's unique. There's no question that Parshas Balak is unique, in that all of this plot, everything that's going on, is happening on the side stage. We don't really know what's happening. Nobody davens, you know, so that it, the decree falls away. Nobody does anything. It's just we're protected without having done anything. Okay, that's just an interesting aside, something to think about when it comes to Parshas Balak. So the Mishnah talks about what we put in the Shema. Now, remember, Shema is a bunch of paragraphs from the Torah. It's paragraphs from the Torah, and it's not technically tefillah. It's where we're asking for something. It's sort of like a declaration of sort, a pledge of allegiance, where we're saying certain very important things that it's important for every Jew to utter and to say and to remember every single day. So the three paragraphs that we have via Havta, that's referred to as Kabbalas al Malchus Shemayim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, referring to God as the one and only thing. Then there's Vahaya, which refers to accepting upon ourselves the responsibility of doing mitzvos. And then there's the third paragraph referring to the mitzvah of Zecha Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering Egypt, etc. That's Vayomer, that's the mitzvah of Tzitzis. And the Mishnah talks about the sequence of them, why we do these three, etc. But we know from a Gemara in Brachos, we know that these were not necessarily going to be the only paragraphs that should be uttered. We know, and we've talked about this in the past, the Ten Commandments at one point were uttered as part of the Shema. We used to say that as well because they were important, and then because people fetched about it and said, hey, it seems that you only believe that the Ten Commandments are the only commandments that matter, so we pulled it out because the early students of Jesus and the early Christians, that was their claim, and so we removed it. But the Gemara says that there should have been another thing added, Shema. The Gemara says, Bikshu l'kvoa parshas balak b'kriya Shema. You know, of all things, they wanted to put this week's parsha, and it's not exactly clear how much of it, but probably the Gemara assumes all of it. If you look at it in an actual Torah scroll, there are no page breaks, right? It goes pretty much straight the entire time. There are no obvious page breaks, so it seems they wanted to put the entire parsha, could you imagine? They wanted to put the entire parsha's balak into the Shema. Umepnei la'kavu, why didn't they? So we referenced this a few weeks ago when we talked about Tircha de Tzibura, Mishum Toreach Tzibur, because it would just be too long. The Shema would have taken too long, and because it was so long, it would be too onerous for people, and we couldn't do it. And so the Gemara first talks about why we would have put that in, why would it have been so important. So the Gemara says, why? If you're going to tell me it's because of Kel Motziam Mimitzrayim, it refers not once but twice to the God as the one who took us out of Egypt. So if you tell me that's what it is, there are other places in the Torah where it refers to that. Elam Rabbi Yosti Barav and Mishum Dechsev Behaikra, Kara Shachav Kariach Lavi Miyukimeno, it refers to the lion crouching at night and getting up in the morning. That's the Beshachbacha Uvkumecha, the same theme that we have in Vihafta, that, you know, whether or not we're going to sleep at night, we have God on our mind, and we have Vahayu Hadvarim Ha'ela, all of these words on our mind. Also in the morning when we get up, immediately, and so that reference to going to sleep at night and getting up in the morning with enthusiasm and excitement, that is also referenced in Parshas Balak. So probably because it has both of those things, it has a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it also has a reference to going to sleep at night, getting up in the morning with enthusiasm and excitement and Avodas Hashem. So the Gemara says, great, fantastic. So let's say that. Why don't we put that in the Shema? V'leimah ha'psuk of Sulo. So why don't we just say that pasuk? Why don't we just refer to those important psukim? Why do you have to cut the whole thing out? Because it's too much to say. Just say those two psukim that have references and symbolism and the metaphor just like it has in the Shema that we're used to. The answer is, like, well, we're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to cut up paragraphs that are in the Torah, that are found in the Torah, unless Moshe cut up the paragraphs, and we're not supposed to cut up the paragraphs. Okay, so that's how our Gemara, the Gemara Brachos, concludes. We should have said it, but we don't because it's just too long, but otherwise we would have, which also, you know, lends to its significance and importance. So the Yerushalmi, when dealing with this, talks about why does it say it? Why does it say these? Why should we have said Balak? Again, it also says it's too long, so we're not going to. But Rav Chuna Amar v'Dechsev be'Shchiva v'Kima. So the first understanding is that, like it's said in the Talmud Bavli, that it's because a reference is going to sleep and getting up in the morning, all with enthusiasm and Avodas Hashem. Rav Yosi be'Rav Bun Amar v'Pnei Shekasa b'Yitzia u'Malchus. He says it refers to Kel Motziyem Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is good, but he adds one more thing, Malchus. Right? Remember, Usruas Melech Bo. That reference that we use in Rosh Hashanah when we refer to Malchus, God being king of the universe, master of the universe, that idea is also referenced. And actually, that is not referenced in our regular Shema. So it's kind of even better because it references things in this declaration that there are not, that do not exist in the declaration that we actually always say. So that's one added reason to put it as Shema. And Amar Rabbi Elazar says, "Bepnei shaksuva b'Torah b'Nevim b'Ksuvim." With this, I want to talk about it until we close. Rabbi Elazar says it's so important because this story is referenced, of course, here in the Torah and in Nevi'im, right? It's referred to in the Torah later in Devarim. V'lo ava Hashem lekach l'shmoa el Bilam. God did not let Bilam be listened to, he turned the klala, the curse, into bracha. That's Moshe's reference to the story. Then in Yehoshua, it says, Yehoshua, a later, right, the student of Moshe, in Nevi'im, says, I did not allow, God says, that Bilam would be listened to, and I saved the Jewish people from his hand. So that's a reference in Navi. And then finally, you have a beautiful line, Ami zacharna mayo'atz Balak. This is in the Navi Micha. remember what Balak did, because we're supposed to remember how significant a thing this was, this miracle. Now, some say, and I believe this is the case, you know, the reason we're supposed to remember it, some believe we're supposed to remember this every day, the Pnei Yeshua makes such a statement. I would think it's one of the zechiros, one of the things this story is supposed to be remembered every single day. And it could be that the reason is because it reminds us not only of all of the themes that are similar to that in Shema, but it also reminds us that behind the scenes, God is working and doing all sorts of things to save the Jews, things that we might not know anything about, things that might exist, that we might entirely be unaware of. And Parshas Balak really does occur every single day, if not with Balak and Bilam, if not with those characters, but with other characters. And that's the thing we need to remind us of always. Have a great Shabbos, have a great day.